Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Gerard Gibbert, and thank you for listening to Middays here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Middays with Gerard Gibbert is on the air. Middays with Gerard Gibbert is powered by CSpire. Power your home or business with CSpire Fiber. To learn more, visit supertalk.fm/CSpire. CSpire Fiber powers Super Talk Mississippi.
Get ready to go beyond the headlines and join a meaningful conversation with people from around the state. Hello. You're listening to Middays with Gerard Gibbert here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Everyone, and welcome to Midday Super Talk Mississippi. I'm your host, Gerard Gibbert, along with Rhino in the Element Wealth Studio, guiding you through the middle of your day with facts, fodder, and fine music. Kicking off a brand new week. What about it there, Rhino?
Howdy.
All right. I awakened this morning, as I normally do, check the news. I know that's what you and I do for a living. There. This was around 4:35 a.m. And I would just say that there is something going on in the financial world today. You may want to be aware of. Cue the Lost in Space clip, will you?
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. No, Will Robinson. Danger.
Don't check your 401k accounts this morning, because the markets are in the negative, in particularly the NASDAQ, the tech-heavy NASDAQ. And here's what's going on. NVIDIA, TSMC, all the chip guys, all the folks that make all this infrastructure in particular, build data centers that power artificial intelligence. So here's what happened. Out of the blue, nobody saw this coming. How could this happen? It's beyond me. The Chinese, a company in China, has introduced a chip. This company's called DeepSeek. And they have introduced a chip that is on par with the NVIDIA chips. They say that they can make these powerful AI-oriented computer chips in a much more expensive way than does NVIDIA and other makers of such infrastructure. Broadcom's another one. They're all taking it on the chin today. Microsoft, Amazon, every company essentially that has got a massive investment, and more importantly, recent guidance. When they go to the markets and say, look, we're going to guide at this level of revenue and net income and growth, or lack thereof. In this case, all of these folks guided very positively into the future. Meta, another one, nuclear power provider, Vistra. I mean, this had a domino effect, as they say, on these particular stocks just because of this Chinese startup, DeepSeek. They released a cutting-edge AI model, runs on less advanced chips and a lower cost than U.S. companies such as OpenAI. So you remember last week, Rhino, when I shared that I had the opportunity to meet Congressman Ro Khanna when I was in Washington. He, of course, the representative of the Silicon Valley area in California. And he's a Democrat, but he's not a wacko, crazy nut Democrat. There are plenty of those, unfortunately, in the Congress. He's a reasonable person. He may not agree on a lot of policy matters and the philosophy of government and so forth, But he said something that just resonated with me and stuck with me, and I think we're seeing it play out today. And this was just a week ago, tomorrow. He said, we've got to recognize that our true adversary is China, and we've got to quit beating up on each other. Here we go. That's essentially manifesting today. That being said, it's completely, totally appropriate and prudent to say you can't trust the communists in China. So all we know today is that we've got a company, and anytime you say that, describe an entity as a company in China, you know the Chinese Communist Party has got their grubby hands in the middle of it. This is what we're trying to prevent in this country, by the way.
That's because any company, and I mean any company, with any holdings in mainland China, and China itself, has to participate in the intelligence agency's requests for information and data.
Yep.
At any time. There is no recourse for, oh, these people have privacy. Nope.
Yep. Absolutely. That doesn't matter there. It's communist. Now, I would submit that in the last 4 years, we've seen more policies that lean into that style of government than we have one where government's hands off and lets the free market work. And that's what's bothered me. It's everything from telling you what your board composition's got to look like to how much you can charge for bag fees on an airline, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Well, I mean, if you want a perfect example of how the market will dictate certain variables in this scenario, you might want to go ahead and buy now on these tech stocks that have taken a plunge, because that very same DeepSeek AI, the app that was number one on the App Store and the iPhone, Apple, whatever store in the last 24 hours, yeah, they've been suffering outages all morning.
Talking about DeepSeek,
yeah,
right?
Couldn't quite scale to meet the demand.
We should not be surprised whatsoever. So I guess if there is a bit of a silver lining in this gigantic sell-off on the NASDAQ today, it was down pre-market as much as 1,000 points. Presently, let's see, it's down 582. It was kind of hovering around the 750 mark when the bell was sounded, signaling the opening up of trading for the day. Then, you know, some of this could just be that it got a little frothy, and investors say, yeah, it's a good time to take some profit and sell the stock, pushing the share price down, and I'm going to get back into it. That's fine. That's the way the market works. I personally am not worried about this long run, and here's why. This country and the economic systems and government systems in this country, while we still have to be vigilant, no doubt, and keep government in check, still are better than those in any other country and more conducive to innovation than in any other country. We have the smartest people, the best companies. All of this technology emanates from this land. NVIDIA, Microsoft, Apple, Meta, all the others, Broadcom, Vistra, they're not going to lay idle to this. They know what they're doing. And I'm quite confident that they will respond and adjust if any adjustments necessary appropriately. And again, I'm not sure I trust China and DeepSeek and what they have announced. As they say, the proof's in the pudding. You just shared with us, okay, this is great. It's cheaper, except it's crashing. We can't get to it. And maybe, Rhino, that's the reason that the market recovered and those stocks recovered somewhat because of that news. Nonetheless, I'm not worried long term. I'm just pointing out that I think Congressman Khanna was accurate in saying it's China we got to watch out for. Who could forget Which debate was it when Biden said, I can't remember who he was debating against, they're not bad folks, or something like that. Do you remember that? And was it Obama and Romney that got into a bit of a tussle over whether or not China was truly an adversary? And this was the 2012 election cycle. In this country, we have got our head in the sand if we don't realize it is their objective, has been, to displace this nation as the most powerful, as the one with the largest dominant economy on the planet. That's their goal. And they don't care what means are necessary to do it. That's including killing people. Now that the CIA has admitted, oh, by the way, that virus, it actually came from a lab. You can't convince me that wasn't intentional and that it wreaked havoc. By the way, Mark Andreessen, he was the founder of Netscape. He just weighed in. He said that DeepSeek is a gift to the world because it's open source. We're coming right back with more. Delaney Meekum, an immigration attorney, at 11:05. Everybody's doing the mess around.
I feel more. This segment of Middays with Gerard Gibbert is brought to you by Covington County Hospital in Collins, where your health matters. Now back to Middays with Gerard here on Super Talk Mississippi.
So I like the Danger Will Robinson clip. We got to use that in the future. That's a good one. There's so many. There's a lot of good script, right? A lot of good dialogue. Dr. Robert Smith from Lost in Space. Man, his descriptions of the robot. You bubble-headed Benny, whatever. Ninny.
But oddly enough, that robot is famous for Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. That line is seared into the pop culture lexicon associated with that robot. That's the only time in the entire series it said that line.
Really?
That one scene.
One time. I didn't know that. Yeah, you would think that was rather constant.
Yeah, like it was a catchphrase.
Yeah.
Nope. The only time.
Because I remember as a kid, this was primetime television, and we just couldn't wait. Man, whatever night it came on, and it was always a to be continued. You know, that's how you got
the cliffhanger, man.
The cliffhanger. They perfected it. I would say it's that they and Batman, which all that was common, same era, same time
bat
period,
time, yeah. Same bat channel.
So good, Lost in Space. But Dr. Robert Smith, what a great actor! You have to think about the acting there. Was fantastic the way he played. How did they keep a straight face with that guy?
It was great acting in the TV show and probably the standout performance in the movie that came out.
That's
in
true.
The, what was it? 90s?
Seems like, yeah.
Because it was Gary Oldman playing the Doctor.
Yeah.
And Gary Oldman's one of those character actors that they just blend into the background of their character, and you never know what you're going to get.
That's
always
so going to
be intense, and it's always going to be good.
He and the robot, all those back and forth quarrels and volleys were just classic. But that's a good one we'll have to use in the future. Maybe anytime we see a market sell-off, we'll go ahead and crank the program up with that. You know what's coming? Man, oh, man. On the C Spire text line, let's see. Landfill management says it's open source. Yep, that's what we were talking about. Mo says, simple, Gerard, we don't allow Chinese chips in the U.S. Yes, yeah, so just to clarify, and I may have misspoke a bit, this tool is that provides artificial intelligence generation is utilizing less expensive infrastructure to power it. That's the concern, is that you could deploy this tool. It's available. It's as good as OpenAI and ChatGPT and Microsoft Pilot and all the other generational AI systems, but it doesn't require the infrastructure, the underlying back-end infrastructure, such as the expensive NVIDIA chips, etc. That's what's got the markets all up in a tizzy today. Now, you could certainly, most to your point, just like TikTok, you technically, I guess if the government saw fit to do so, could ban the availability and access to Chinese-based AI tools. Now, if we think, Rhino and I were talking about this on the break, if you think that TikTok puts our national security at risk because of all the data it's gathering, you ain't seen nothing yet till you start using some Chinese AI platform and you start training it with your LLMs and so forth. You might as well just hand them everything in the whole country. Not that they're already seeking access to that on a 724 basis. So it'll be interesting. What's the status of TikTok right now? It's available, right?
Yeah, it's available on the App Store. I've still never downloaded it.
Where's that going, though? I mean, because we have a law that says it's not...
You had the executive order that will likely run out before it manages to make it to court.
Right.
To be challenged.
And so that means... It just feels like we have a lot of issues that are headed to the United States Supreme Court. Birthright citizenship. I wouldn't be surprised if on that one, just a hunch, that order prevails.
Oh, yeah.
I think the order that says, because it's gotten ridiculous to the point where if you read the language and then you think about the spirit of it, I think it's been exceeded. It's been abused. There's no doubt about that. And just say, oh, yeah, come here while you're pregnant and drop a baby out. Boom, instant citizenship. I don't think that was the intent. And so it gets complicated.
It was physically impossible when it was written.
Well, that's true.
It was not in the realm of possibility when the intent was made.
Right. And, you know, the other thing is we didn't have a thriving university community as well. Think about the students that come into this country from other countries that get pregnant and have babies. That's a lot of that. You know that's going on. So, oh me. Very complicated stuff. But there are other things as well, that declaring an energy emergency, a border emergency, all that stuff, likely to get challenged, end up at the Supreme Court, and then we just talked earlier about, we shared with you earlier, Delaney Meekum is an immigration attorney from Gulfport, I believe. He's calling in at 11:05, and we'll get his thoughts from a legal perspective on the various orders President Trump issued last week concerning immigration. And it's a series of them. It's pretty clear, Rhino, that the president and his inner circle were getting ready for assuming office. All of this was created over several months, no doubt. And his team, a very capable and competent team, addressed the spectrum of issues, many of which evolved during the Biden administration.
Immigration, at the very least, came to a head.
Yeah. Certainly immigration is one.
Yeah.
Where they just went just off the rails into a different direction. And so there's a series, and we paid for that. We had bad results. They still refuse to acknowledge or admit that.
I mean, case in point, the sheer number of ICE arrests and deportations in the first full week of a presidency, that tells you those people were already on a radar, on a list.
No doubt.
They had knowledge of where they were and likely what their habits were. They were just told not to take action by the previous administration.
Absolutely no doubt about it. Just stand down. Even if it was kind of tongue-in-cheek, wink-wink sort of instruction, right? It does appear, or just failure to provide adequate resources to execute their duty, to discharge their duty, and that's changed. So we got military now at the border. We got airplanes repatriating people, including, you guys have seen the story, I'm sure, to Colombia, who's actually an ally, a good trading partner. We import some oil from them. They also send us fresh flowers for Valentine's Day. It's a huge import from Colombia. And the president of Colombia notices that his citizens who were being deported were being walked on the tarmac to their ride, an airplane transporting them back to Colombia, and they were in shackles. Oh, so sorry. You shouldn't have come here. And you look the other way, President. You have let it happen. You facilitated it. And so they send back, and he says, no, no, you're not landing here. And then Trump, Mr. Trump says, okay, we're immediately putting tariffs on you. And there was a couple of other threats he made as well. Okay, well, we changed our mind. Then they sent an airplane. I get this right. That's right,
isn't it? Sent the president's airplane.
The president's airplane. The president of Colombia's airplane. We're going to go pick them up and bring our citizens back. Okay, good. Then you take care of them. It's real simple. That's how you can leverage America's might. And in this case, it's economic might. Nothing speaks more loudly than the dollar and money.
And it was apparently all done at the behest of Trump in between holes on the golf course.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. More done in a week than Biden in his entire 4 years times a gazillion. I mean, certainly answered more questions of the press than Biden did maybe in his whole political career, honestly. Well, that's because you're confident in your position.
I don't know that you can go that far back because he really loved the camera prior to having to drop out of the 88 presidential election over his plagiarism problems.
I was going to say, you mean he loved the camera when he was lying all the time?
And they had a harder time calling him on it.
That is true. Yeah, on the C Spire text line. Yeah, what happened to that cheap Chinese drywall? Yeah, there's more to it than just what we're seeing today that the markets are selling off on, which is why I believe they're looking for an excuse to engage in some selling, take some profit.
There's a reason you don't expect quality when you order from Wish.
That's absolutely right. Coming right back in the Element Well studio.
You're listening to Middays with Gerard Gibbert, here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Middays, Super Talk Mississippi. Chris from Oxford says, yeah, it's true. This new Chinese AI platform that Rhino just told us has actually crashed because of the rush to download it.
On Bloomberg this morning, a couple hours ago, that they were having outages, and now I've seen several different reports on it.
Okay, so... And, you know, Rhino, what usually happens, if that's your first experience out of the box, you just lost a bunch of people permanently right there. Interesting. So, DeepSeek, the name of this platform, they basically said, yeah, we don't need the advanced chips that NVIDIA produces like our competitors do, which would be OpenAI, ChatGPT, Pilot, etc., and that sent the NASDAQ into a tailspin. But yeah, it's open source, and that the tool itself is open source, talking about the actual app itself. So if somebody wanted to access the code, the underlying code, make some changes to it, and create their own version, you could do that. That's what open source essentially says. And, of course, if someone wanted to just create one that very closely replicates, mirrors the tool, they wouldn't face any sort of patent infringement. That's the other big aspect of it being open source. Man, I remember in the old days, and I know I'm really talking a long time ago now, the IBM mainframe days. I mean, even the cables were proprietary. You want to connect various peripherals or devices to the mainframe, you had to have the IBM connectivity, physical connectivity infrastructure, and that was only available through IBM, and they charged a premium for it. It was totally proprietary, end-to-end proprietary.
And if they showed up to fix something and there was a non-IBM product, it was...
See ya. Yep. It's kind of like stuff a lot of people are used to buying that'll have these terms and conditions about the warranty associated with whatever the product is. And if you do certain things, it voids your warranty. Same thing here, to your point. And, I remember this well back in the big companies that use these mainframes. Wait, you got a non-IBM third-party clone cable on there? Okay, take that off and we'll come back. Even PCs in the early days when instead of buying an IBM PC that had included in it the IBM hard drive that was standard with the machine, you'd buy one without a hard drive and buy a third-party hard drive. But if you had that thing covered under IBM maintenance and they came out, you had a problem, wait, you got a third-party hard drive in there, even though it may have nothing to do with the issue. You take that thing out, we'll come back and see. I remember that well. So that's the market. But the market changed that because the market said, look, we're going to create these open source technologies where you're not restricted by just this one maker. And IBM had to respond, and they did. And off to the races they went. But we all benefited from that, no doubt. The advent of open source technology, no doubt we all benefited. But that's what's going on with this stuff. Chinese drywall, says Thomas in Greenwood. What about your Chinese iPhone and all the Chinese parts and GM and Ford vehicles? That's a little bit apples to oranges comparison, all this stuff is, in my view, to something like an AI platform. But, I get the point. Adam and Baldwin, a lot of ICE raids being reported across the state today. Go get them. Yeah, that's good. And that is something we have witnessed firsthand. President Trump fulfilling his promise. No doubt. We're seeing deportations, bolstering security at the border. And Tom Homan, his immigration czar, said it over and over. We're going after the worst first. And man, they have. Have you seen some of these people? I mean, child rapists? Should we have any mercy on these people? Like, oh my gosh, we can't send them back to their home country. I'd say, hell, send them back now. And that's what we're doing.
The question I have is, why were they still walking free?
Completely agree. Because Biden let them, wanted them to. AOC would be crying and all that crap.
Speaking of crying, have you noticed the seemingly lack of media coverage of these deportations? Because they've tried their hand a couple times at pulling on the heartstrings, and it backfired on them.
Yes.
Like day one, inauguration day, the lady crying at the border with perfectly manicured fingernails and a brand new suitcase and a brand new iPhone. And, oh yeah, by the way, that was a federal holiday, so it's unlikely she had an appointment for that day, even though the media said she did.
No doubt. And Mr. Homan.
Or the reporting that, oh my goodness, ICE showed up to a school. Except it wasn't ICE, it was Secret Service, because somebody at the school made a post online threatening somebody in the president's administration.
That's correct. Middle and elementary schools, and Tom Homan went to the public to defend these interventions and was asked about on ABC's This Week, Martha Raddatz. Yeah, I think Mo said about that, something about that. And he was asked about all these the logistics behind these mass deportations and these raids and so forth. And Raddatz tried to point out that the administration said it will, quote, no longer tell ICE agents that they have to avoid sensitive locations, including schools, hospitals, and churches. What criminals are hiding in schools, middle schools, she said. Well, it turns out there are a lot. I mean, isn't this what happens in some of these countries in the Middle East where they'll place their armaments or their communications facilities like in the basement of a hospital or a school or something like that?
Oh, it's worse than that. The first three hostages that were released as a part of the hostage deal between Israel and Palestine, the first three hostages were released from being held within the UNRWA encampment.
Oh, my gosh.
And if you're unfamiliar with what the UNRWA does, that is the UN nonprofit organization that provides aid to Palestinians.
Hmm.
But they also were holding hostages.
William is disgusting. And Tupelo says, raped a child. Why is he even walking? We have enough problems with criminals that are U.S. citizens, and we have laws that are designed to get those criminals off the streets. But it's just exacerbated, is it not, when you've got illegals committing crime, especially crimes as heinous as raping a child. And I'm trying to remember, I think the particular incident I saw, Rhino, was someone from Asia that had immigrated here from Asia. This was not someone, as we typically think about, from Central America or South America. I believe it was from Asia. And that really bothered me, just seeing this photo. I'm looking forward, seeing this photo of this person, and you do wonder, why are they even in this country? Well, because we let them come in this country and look the other way, and now we're trying to remove them, and we are getting a lot of pushback, of course, from the left in this country that just thinks this is inhumane, but they don't seem to be concerned about the inhumane aspect of raping a child. Just incredible. But as the old saying goes, there's a new sheriff in town, and certainly we got it going on now, and I totally support it. I think most clear thinking Americans do, and that's the way it should be. What else we got here on the text line? We got a lot of stuff coming in. If they're going after the worst first, would they please get my ex-wife, says Jerry in Bonneton. Oh, my gosh. Well, don't forget Delaney Meekum, who is an immigration attorney, joins us at 11:05. It's a short show because it's Monday. Super Talk Outdoors with Ricky Matthews airs after middays. That's at 12:05 today. We got to get to some discussion of what's going on down there in the state legislature. You know, we've been talking a lot about taxes. It's also School Choice Week. And Rhino was good enough to look up the bill that was filed by Representative Rob Robertson in the Mississippi State House that would mandate school district consolidation. We'll talk about all that on the other side of the break on Midday. Stay with us.
Shining star for you to see what your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see what your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see what your life can truly be.
Hey, this is Will.
You're listening to Middays with Gerard here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Yeah, so, Rhino, now there are some of these And again, I really hesitate you always try to console me about this. I hesitate to try to guess where people stand on the various issues based on their physical appearance. And you've tried to comfort me on that. I try to stay away from that. I really do. But it gets hard sometimes, man.
It's just, it's innate human nature. It's called pattern recognition.
Yeah. Well, they're teachers. Unfortunately, these are people who teach our children, our most precious asset. And they just look the part of a wacko, a left-wing wacko. And they're, because everybody has a device that allows them to speak their mind and tell the world, now they're telling everybody, we're not going to let ICE in if they come to our schools. Obstructing law enforcement is a crime in this country, as it should be.
Well, bear in mind, the vast majority of these people that are saying these things are from the generation that is terrified to answer a ringing phone.
It's true. We shared that last week.
Fairly certain federal agents coming in to conduct their business will not have to worry about the little snowflake.
Yeah, that is so true. Well, they're all out there. And you know what? Nobody's paying attention. Here's another one. I'm looking at, posted a video. She's crying about deportation, but of course she deleted it after she was inundated with outrage from people who want to see these bad folks exported from this country. Oh, man. So I totally applaud this. This is the absolute right thing to do. He told us this. Did the president. We are not surprised. He was voted for just that. Yeah, okay, I found it. There are two cases. Here's Tom Homan himself I'm looking at. He personally apprehended a child rapist from Thailand in Chicago. A sanctuary city, of course. Shall we also add, Rhino, a broke sanctuary city, as is the state.
Is that the same raid Dr. Phil was on with him?
I don't know.
Dr. Phil was on an ICE raid with Homan in Chicago.
I don't see.
Because they tried to blur his face, and then you heard him talk, and it's like, that's Dr. Phil.
Okay, you know what? You're right. The rapist here is, I see him. There's Dr. Phil. You're exactly right. And he's blurred out. There's Homan. He's not blurred out. It's incredible. Dr. Phil is with him. I didn't know. Oh, it's very clear. That's who it is. I'm going to send you a link to that. But the other one that surfaced is one from Mexico. And this person was just deported, an accused child rapist, entered this country four times, sent back, entered it four times, now in the custody of the Mexican authorities. He's wanted in Veracruz, Mexico, for allegedly raping a child. This is the right thing to do. What people want, just innately human, they want safety, they want peace, they want health, and they want prosperity. And these people that are coming into this country illegally, consuming our resources, but more importantly, engaged in criminal activity. The worst of worst, raping a child. No mercy. Out of here. You go deal with it. Mexico, Colombia, Thailand. It also turns out that, if I can find it here, the president of Colombia has got a tranny partner. Have you seen this?
That was an accusation leveled against him by the opposing party in Colombia.
Okay.
He was seen out and about with an alleged prostitute that was a dude before they started hooking as a woman.
Looks like, I mean, they're holding hands.
He claimed that it was just a friendly encounter, but
that's sure what it looks like.
You can take from it what you want.
I'm saying he's just walking the streets here, is the Columbia president, holding hands. Now, look, I don't really care. You know, I made that very clear. That's fine.
Part of that was the reason why he was so hot-headed when trying to show his rear to Trump, and then Trump spanked him.
I got you.
He's doing anything in his power to maintain power and relevance in Colombia because his numbers are tanking, kind of like Biden's were.
I see. Well, if you perhaps hadn't emptied out, as Mr. Trump pointed out, your prisons and your mental institutions and so forth, and sent them into this country, now you're going to receive them back, or you're going to incur onerous tariffs, maybe your numbers would be better. My guess is he's also just a bad president on top of that. We're stepping aside for a break. It's Fox News, Super Talk News. Delaney Meekum is next.
Of Middays with Gerard Gibbert is brought to you by the Mississippi Business Journal. Visit msbusinessjournal.com. Scott Coopwood, publisher. Welcome to the show that challenges you to think deeply, and look beyond political posturing. You're listening to Middays with Gerard Gibbert here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back, everyone. Hour two of Middays is now live from the Element Well studio. We welcome now Delaney Meekum, an immigration attorney. Meekum, pardon me. Delaney, you there, sir?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm here. Delaney Meekum.
Meekum. Okay, got it. All right, so we wanted to get you on. You are an immigration attorney. I believe, are you located in Gulfport?
Yeah, that's correct. So, I started my firm in 2019 here in Gulfport after having practiced immigration for a little while at other firms. And so I've been doing this for about 10 years. We do exclusively immigration. For whatever reason, it's an area of law that I gravitated towards, and I enjoy what I do. But you know, as you've been talking about and as you know, it's kind of a hot topic politically, and that's something I kind of hadn't anticipated back then when I decided to go into this area of law, but here we are.
Yeah. So who would be your clients, Delaney, and what sort of cases would you be involved in?
That's a great question. So what we do is we help people immigrate legally into the United States. We help people get visas to enter the United States. We help families adjust status to get green cards. We help people get other types of humanitarian type relief, such as U visas, which are visas for people who are victims of crimes, or T visas, which are visas for people who are victims of severe forms of human trafficking. And we do a lot of removal defense as well, which means that if you are charged under the Immigration and Nationality Act of having been present in the United States without authorization, or having entered at a place or a time that's not designated by the Attorney General, they can put you into removal proceedings, and we provide that defense if there is any defense.
Okay, so just to clarify for our audience, then, is it accurate to say, Mr. Meekum, that you are representing those who seek to immigrate into this country legally?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, yeah, that's why people hire me, is to help them get papers to be here legally.
Okay.
So that's what I do, is I try to help people legalize themselves or come here legally.
Okay.
Which, there are not too many avenues, but there are avenues under the Immigration and Nationality Act. And so,
sure.
You know, if there is a way to do it legally, it's helpful to talk to an attorney, because it's not, the Immigration and Nationality Act is fairly complicated. It's codified. You know, it's similar to the IRS in its complexity, or the tax code in its complexity. And so, you know, it's valuable to have an attorney if you have issues or questions about immigration. It's a very specific area of law that I've been fortunate enough to learn pretty well and become pretty good at it. Our clients come to the Gulf Coast from all over the country. Some people drive, I do a lot of remote consultations, but, we have clients from California and, Oregon, Washington, all the way to the East Coast, Virginia, New York, a lot. But most of our cases are around here along the Gulf Coast. A lot of, people come in from the Panhandle, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana.
Well, how does that work? Because if they're here inside the boundaries of the country and you're providing legal advice and counsel to them, what program are they here that's legal? Are they not? Did they not enter the country illegally, and then you're trying to help them become legal?
That's a great question. Correct. Yes, that's a great question. And that's why I mentioned previously that at the border, or anytime you enter the United States, they still have due process under the laws that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, a person can't be deported unless an immigration judge issues a final order of deportation.
Okay.
In order to get to that point, an ICE officer generally will give you what's called a notice to appear. To put it into context that's probably understandable for someone who hasn't dealt with immigration, what that means is they give you essentially what is a ticket that outlines what the allegations that the federal government are alleging, and the charge under the Immigration and Nationality Act, primarily, under Section 212A6A, 212A7A, which just means that you entered the United States, or they believe you're accused of entering the United States at any place or time that was not approved, and you didn't have the proper documentation, or you didn't have the proper documentation.
I see.
So they filed this charging document in the immigration court, and they set it for a hearing date. Generally, the charging document has to have a hearing date, and there's been some issues back and forth between the Supreme Court and other federal courts that for a long time, for decades, they were issuing these notices to appear and not correctly putting the date of the hearing on those. And so a lot of cases have been dismissed because of the government's failure to adequately provide people notices of hearings. But at the end of the day, if you get a notice to appear, you have to appear in court for what, if not... it would be what you would consider like an arraignment, where you contest or you admit to the charges, right? So you go before a judge. The judge says, well, look, these are the allegations that the federal government is saying. These are the charges that you've been charged with. How do you plead? In most of our cases, we admit the allegations. We concede that they're removable from the United States because, it streamlines the process. But at the end of the day, the government has the burden of proof to present evidence that the person entered unlawfully or that they are here unlawfully. So we could contest those charges and make the government prove those things, but that's just a preliminary step. Generally, then it's set for some type of trial date, depending on what type of relief the person is seeking. There's different types of relief. If you've been in the United States for 10 years, you have U.S. citizen children, you have good moral character, and you can prove that that would cause an exceptional. Mm-hmm. Or unusual harm to your U.S. citizen children or U.S. citizen spouse, then you can apply for a green card through the immigration court. But again, you have to meet those specific requirements for that provision under the law. So, there are benefits for some people who have been here over 10 years. And so, to your point, how are these people, having a right to have a court hearing or have a right to, any type of process or papers if they've entered unlawfully or they've been here unlawfully? Well, the code provides for that. The code provides things, like I said, after 10 years you get certain benefits, but there are also other benefits that people can get even if they entered unlawfully or without the proper documentation. And asylum is one of those areas. As long as you apply for asylum within a year of entry, you are entitled to a hearing on that. And that's what the law is currently based on our international treaties, our refugee laws, the Refugee Act of 1980,
yeah.
Where that was codified. So if you meet the definition of a refugee, even if you're in the United States, they can grant you asylum. And that's the difference between, you know, a refugee and an asylee. A refugee is someone who is granted entry into the United States as a refugee, and asylee is someone who is already in the United States who has proven that they meet the definition of a refugee.
I see. So you're aware that there was a series of orders the president issued last week concerning immigration, and one that seemed to me like would affect your services and your counsel is called the Protecting the United States from Foreign Terrorists and Other National Security and Safety Threats, that really is designed to make the vetting process a lot stricter for visa applicants. What do you think?
Sure. Yes. Well, there's a lot of them. Let me look. I've got a stack of federal executive orders here, and they all do something a little bit different.
Yeah.
So let me see which one we're referring to specifically.
Directs all agencies to be more thorough, is what it says in their vetting process.
Okay. Yeah. So let me look here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to catch you off guard.
Speak to that if I can.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's okay. Like I said, there was a gaggle of executive orders, and so I want to make sure that I'm talking about the right one.
I'm looking at 8.
Okay.
We're up against a break. If you can spend a couple of minutes there and hang on with us, you can research that and then provide us a response and your thoughts on that particular order. That's just the one that caught my attention. Seems to be more related to those seeking legal entry into this country.
And I got you, and I can talk about that when we get back, or I can delve into it now if we have time.
No, we don't have time now, but if you can hang on, we'll catch you on the other side of the break. We'll be right back with Delaney Amicum. He is an immigration attorney. Stay with us.
I thought we had a better understanding. Oh, baby, don't be so chipped. You don't want to see me cry. Oh, baby, please. It isn't fair. You don't want me to cry no more.
From the Seabrook.
Middays with Gerard Gibbert.
Let's do this.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's go.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Middays from the Element Well Studio. Delaney Amicum, immigration attorney based in Gulfport, Mississippi, is our guest. All right, so what do you think there, Mr. Amicum, about that particular executive order signed by President Trump last week that essentially instructs agencies involved in the immigration process to be, the way I interpreted it, more thorough in their vetting of those applying for visas into this country?
Yeah, no, so I think there's nothing wrong with being thorough in vetting people who are, trying to enter. We obviously, one of the functions of the Department of Homeland Security is to prevent people who are, have bad intent, will towards the United States from entering the United States to cause harm. But at the end of the day, the process, if you talk to anyone who's been through this process, the process is already a very slow and tedious process because it is government bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is big government bureaucracy at its finest, much like I mentioned before, the IRS. And so, increasing the burden on, the immigration officials or whoever else to do potential vetting or other processes, while it's important, I don't know that it's something that was broken. I don't know that it was something that needed to be fixed necessarily to this extent. And I think that it possibly will affect a lot of people who are trying to immigrate legally by slowing down the processes. And let me give you an example of that. Let's say that you have someone who is married to a United States citizen, and you had entered the United States without any type of authorization that you want to get a green card through United States citizen. You have to do generally, unless you can get, if you were either paroled or admitted with a visa, you have to go back to your home country to do that process through the consulate. But in order to be able to return without some type of bar, you have to get a waiver of that bar, meaning you have to be forgiven of that bar. Generally, a person who leaves the United States and tries to re-enter lawfully after having been here for more than a year will have to wait for 10 years outside the United States. That's waivable for spouses of U.S. citizens. But the ironic thing is that if you submit an application for a waiver of unlawful presence so that you can travel to get a green card because you're married to a United States citizen, the processing time for that is almost 4 years. And you're allowed to remain in the United States according to our laws while that is being processed, but you also don't have any type of status while you're waiting. So, what my concern about some of these things are is that we have been pretty successful at detecting and up to this point stopping terrorists and other, potential threats at the border. Mm-hmm. Increasing our putting additional regulations that will bog down the system is going to make it a little bit more painful and a little bit longer for the people who are trying to enter lawfully. And obviously what we want is lawful immigration into the United States. But I agree. I mean, some of the things that we want to achieve with our immigration policies at the border are not bad. I mean, obviously, vetting and preventing terrorism and things like that are good. I don't necessarily know, because a lot of this is vague. Executive orders. The implementation of an executive order is far different from, just saying that this is what we're going to do. Actually doing it is the challenge. I think that's going to be the challenge with a lot of these executive orders.
Do you think this order that essentially cancels the birthright citizenship is going to stick? Do you expect a legal challenge to that, and that might it make its way to the Supreme Court? It's been challenged, but do you think this is headed to the Supreme Court eventually?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, unless the Supreme Court refuses to take it up, it's going to the Supreme Court. But, I mean, you tell me what you think. I'm going to read to you the Constitution of the United States. You tell me what you think. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States.
Yeah, I mean,
that's from the Constitution.
Going just straight from that text there, it would appear that anybody born here would automatically be a citizen. It does feel like that it's been abused somewhat. Now, I know that's a separate matter than what the Constitution presently says. Even Senator Lindsey Graham has said, I noticed him this morning, said that he thinks that there's a problem with that in the Constitution. He says he's offered an amendment to actually change the Constitution along those lines. He also indicated he believes the Supreme Court will uphold the order. I was a little surprised by that.
If Congress and the states ratify a change to the Constitution, then of course the Supreme Court is going to uphold it.
Yeah.
What I don't believe the Supreme, and I could be wrong, but what I don't believe the Supreme Court will uphold is an executive order that runs contrary to what the Constitution says.
Yeah.
I don't think that a president or anyone can say, we're going to modify the Constitution by executive order. I think that has a snowball's chance of making it through the litigation process. But if Congress and the states choose to,
ratify,
amend the 14th Amendment, then they can do that.
Sure. And that's not what Graham was saying. He said he's offered that in the past. It's not since the new president was sworn in. But I just caught him in an interview saying that he thinks the Supreme Court will actually uphold the order. And this may get into some legal technicalities that are above my head, honestly. But it sounds like that's what that Trump and his team are relying on.
That's and maybe they have good feelings about the appointees that Trump has put on the Supreme Court to see things the way he sees them, and traditionally we've experienced that they do tend to see things the way he sees them, and so I can't speak for how the Supreme Court would rule on any potential cases, but I can tell you, if you have a strict reading of the Constitution, if you're an originalist, or if you believe in following the intent of the framers and the writers of the Constitution, I believe if that's the legal framework that you will use to analyze whether an executive order can indeed sure. make a person born in the United States not a U.S. citizen, then I don't see how they can get around that with an executive order.
Well, I want to be clear. I don't favored the use of executive orders to conflict with the Constitution or any law in that respect. It just seems like, it feels like, and this kind of bothers me, is that regardless of party, that the presidents and administrations have seen fit just to implement their agenda through executive order and just kind of hope it stands the test of the courts.
Right. And that's the trend. I mean, that's the way it's been going with, multiple administrations now. I practiced under Obama. I practiced under Trump the first time. I practiced under Biden. So, I mean, this is the fourth presidency that I'm under practicing immigration laws.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, Congress has not changed the Immigration and Nationality Act. So all of these presidents have had to work within the framework of what's been approved by the Congress. And a lot of these things, I think that's why these are Band-Aids. They're not real fixes. They're just a different way of applying the same law. I don't know how much of a difference it's going to make, other than it is definitely caused fear and concern in communities. I mean, we've got, I don't know, you can check these numbers because I don't have the sources, but I heard recently or read recently that there's 4.4 million families that have at least, have an undocumented immigrant living in their family. 11 million people. Look, President Trump wants to do with his immigration policies and these executive orders is something that is really something that Congress should be doing, but Congress is not doing it.
So it's
really hard to enforce these laws without changing them, because Biden implemented procedures such as the CBP-1 app, which was Trump administration
turned it off.
Disbanded the CBP-1 app, was just a way of helping people organize their whether they can apply for asylum or not and do it in an orderly manner. But I believe that we're going to replace the Remain in Mexico policies. But I don't know with Claudia, the new president of Mexico, Sheinbaum, if she's going to be willing to help or engage with that. But obviously, the United States, we saw with Colombia over the weekend that the United States has a lot of hegemonic power, a lot of, economic power to kind of help these other countries get on board with what his policy goals are. And so maybe we will or maybe we won't see the Remain in Mexico policy return. But from what I've heard, some of the administration in Mexico doesn't seem to be too willing to help with that. But then again, like I said, we saw what happened in Colombia.
We got to go.
But at the end of the day, I think what we need to...
You go ahead. Finish your thought. Got about 30 seconds.
Oh, I was just going to say, at the end of the day, I think that it's important to remember, as we're rounding up a lot of people and putting them in detention centers, that these immigration laws are civil. I mean, there's a lot of conversation about, criminals, et cetera, but the Immigration and Nationality Act and the immigration courts, they are civil courts and they're tried civilly, and this is not a crime that they're being charged with an immigration court.
Delaney, and to your point, I'll just make this comment before we go here, is that the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, literally just issued a statement on social media saying we got to codify these orders that deal with immigration to make sure they stick. Appreciate you joining us, Delaney. Delaney Meekum, immigration attorney. Thanks.
Middays with Gerard Gibbert.
It is on.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back, everyone. A little fog hat. We're in the Element Wealth studio. It's a Monday. We got half an hour of middays remaining, and then it's Ricky Matthews, Super Talk Outdoors. So that was a great conversation. Enjoyed that with Delaney Meekum, an immigration attorney. Works with people who seek legal status of immigrating into this country. And that's a complicated process. I suspect that you're better served if you've got a lawyer guiding you through that. I think, Rhino, that folks are skeptical because of the just enormous number of illegals, undocumented, that entered the country, dispersed. We can't find all of them, though Tom Homan's bound and determined to locate them all and send them back home, repatriate them now, is the in vogue term replacing deportation. But my question still about how do they get here? I still not quite clear how that process works. Like, how are you here, but you've not been granted a visa? I know our laws do allow if you're seeking asylum. That's been abused. That's been the main thing that's been abused. Why are you here when they get asked that question at the border? I'm seeking asylum. Okay, here's your court date 10 years from now. I mean, that's what's been happening, right?
The asylum laws state that you must remain in the first safe country you come to.
Which is part of the Remain in Mexico policy, I believe, that, yeah, you stay there while we're waiting for your court date.
If I'm not mistaken, it's a part of major international agreements.
Oh, okay. But again, I say that this process we have in this country that allows legal immigration and assimilation and a path to citizenship, it's been so perverted and so abused. And everybody with eyes can see these caravans, swaths of people up to no good, all there being escorted, which is a kind way of putting it, by cartels who are making billions of dollars and have no regard for human life, will kill people, rape children. They don't care to get their money and get their way. It's an industry. It's a syndicate. And I think that's tainted people's view of our entire immigration system because it has been so off the rails and so abused. And so when someone such as Mr. Meekum is trying to assist those that I'm assuming they seek legal visas, legal status, want to become citizens, want to work, want to contribute. I'm assuming that. I don't know. I don't know every case. But I guess I'm saying that because if you're willing to obtain the assistance of a lawyer, surely that would be the case. And Thomas wanted to know how they're getting paid. Thomas, you do realize there's something called attorney-client privilege? He can't tell you that. I'm not going to ask him that. And it's really, I think, irrelevant to the situation. But the bigger thing is, how do we make sure when we are granting visas that these people are being properly vetted? That is a concern, no doubt about it. And that we're making sure that only the best, the brightest, the most appropriate are allowed into the country and are granted visas. Yeah, I have concerns about that, no doubt. And hopefully that's the case. What else we had on the C Spire text line here? Oh, Chris Kroll Outdoor says that Mr. Delaney is running for Gulfport City Council in Ward 4. Can he talk about his campaign and agenda for a few minutes? Just now seeing this, Chris, but we couldn't do that anyway. He was here for the express purpose of discussing the topic of immigration. And as Rhino well knows, we are somewhat restricted. I believe it's the FCC on providing time to political candidates. And so if we did that without that being pre-scheduled, we, of course, would have to, which wouldn't be a problem, we would have to accept requests from other candidates in the race to come on as well and have equal time. And that wouldn't necessarily be a problem, but that wasn't the purpose of today. And it's, as Rhino knows, fairly unusual for us to host political candidates at the local level.
We're, at least on the statewide shows.
That's right. This is a statewide show, and those running for Congress, which would be district level, or commissioner level, which would be also district level, Supreme Court, etc., certainly the statewide elected officials. Yeah, makes perfect sense for those folks to be guests on our show and allow them to talk about their political campaign and agenda and so forth. But that's essentially why. Mike in Gulfport says, have him read the entire piece he's quoted. I think he's referring to the birthright citizenship language in the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. And I've read it. And again, I think this is just one of those things that's going to get caught up in legal volley. That's the way it works. And that's the way it should work. In the Supreme Court, the justices will have to make a decision. I just found it a bit interesting that Lindsey Graham, a person that I don't agree with wholeheartedly, he actually made a statement he supported this move, this order, and also stated that he felt the Supreme Court would uphold it. And that would be interesting if that happens, no doubt about it. Let's see. Take it easy, Gerard. You can't expect a lawyer to know what the law says right on the spot. No, that's CC in Senatobia. No, look, it's the law is broad and deep, it, as any subject matter is, and even specialist in an area, I mean, it's a lot. And, gosh, the executive orders produced, released, signed over the last week, as you well know, an army of people behind the scenes were involved in that. It's not like, no disrespect to the president, but it's not like the president sat up all night and wrote all these executive orders. And that's fine. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's what his team does.
But when it comes down to the 14th Amendment itself, if any action is taken by a lower court or then by the Supreme Court, it would be on the interpretation of the words subject to the jurisdiction thereof.
Right.
That's going to be the sticking point. That's going to be where there's the wiggle room for any opinion from the Supreme Court.
I agree. And that's, again, but you know that's going to get into the legal weeds. And even the discussion that Mr. Meekum provided addressing some of those issues, it gets into legalese, and he wasn't attempting to use legalese, but just the interpretation of these provisions can get complex, no doubt about it. But that's why we have a Supreme Court. That's their job, is to interpret those complexities and apply, in this case, something that's been on the books for a very long time, a couple hundred years, and now here we are, applying it to present-day situations. That's the way it's supposed to work.
And it's also not the first time that the 14th Amendment has been questioned. And
that's true.
It's not the first time that question has risen all the way to the Supreme Court.
Totally true.
I mean, one of the main ones that they're looking at is a case, I'm forgetting the exact title of it, but it's from like 1898.
Totally agree.
It would be the case law that would be studied leading up to it.
Right. Thomas, of course, always can be counted on to criticize Republicans. In this case, it's Ronald Reagan and some of the orders and policies implemented during the Reagan administration towards immigration. He acted like a Democrat, says Thomas. Okay, sure. Let's see here. I know, let's see, you and many conservatives. Oh, here we go. This is someone who apparently disagrees with our position. Love the DEI talking point. But can you explain your views, you viewers, who DEI really helps? I'm sure they don't know since you stressed that DEI is solely about race or gays. That's not true. It's not what we've said. Inform them that the real DEI hires are the disabled, the veterans returning from war, older people, pregnant women, mothers who want to return to the workforce, people with health risks. Tell them that the number one recipient of DEI benefits being white women via the U.S. Department of Labor. Does this not fit the narrative you want to sell, or are you into screwing over a ton just to spite a few? That was a little hard to follow there.
Well, it's because they got their panties twisted before they started typing, and they were well into the willfully ignorant category of listeners.
Yeah, I find that all, honestly, a little ridiculous and an inaccurate representation of our positions. And I still
welcome
say,
to arguments from the left. They're all in bad faith, and they all have... Never mind.
Yeah. So, with respect to, let's say, the category of veterans returning from war, I think it's a bit, if not a lot, disingenuous to assume that employers in this country simply aren't going to hire veterans returning from war, that there has to be some policy, some law that forces that. I totally disagree, but that doesn't ignore and excuse the fact that we believe merit should determine such. We're coming right back.
If you're feeling anxious...
Are we going to do this?
Middays with Gerard Gibbert.
Keep rolling. 3, 2, 1.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
So we were talking about Ronald Reagan and his immigration policies. Thomas in Greenwood loves to besmirch the president's policies regarding immigration. If you weren't aware, folks, in 1986, he signed a law. As I recall, Rhino, it granted amnesty for 2.5-3 million people, seems to be the number that comes to mind. For all those that came here illegally before 1982, they had to pay back fines and taxes or something like that to remain in the country to receive that amnesty. They also had to, they couldn't have any moral turpitude problems, and right, and they, did they have to learn English or attempt English, or there was some assimilation requirements as well, as
I think
I
all
recall.
The paperwork was in English was one of the major hurdles.
Okay. So, and I think it also, it gave employers a pass if they hired these folks. So this was his approach, but it was also thought at the time to be, okay, that's it. We still had secure borders, and that was the difference. What we have experienced under the Biden administration, which
well, it started long before that.
Yeah, long before that. But it just seemed to have gotten amped up and elevated considerably. It seemed like for a while there, every day, that was dominating the news of these images of these caravans of people. And I think the cartels have strengthened considerably since then as well, which are largely responsible for pushing people into this country, and a very accommodating Biden administration.
It went from a cottage industry of coyotes to the cartel making it full-blown organized crime.
There you go. And in cahoots with the dang governments of those countries. You know there was some financial participation. On the C Spire text line, Dan in Tate County asks, it's a good question, and I'm sorry we didn't get to taxes today. Because that is a big issue that our legislature is dealing with. Does the state raise property taxes for the counties? Tate County is raising property taxes this year by 20% and said the state is making them do it. That's completely untrue. The state does not control property taxes, and I know in the tax debate, Rhino, we see it all the time. I'm concerned that if we cut the income tax, it's going to make my property taxes go up. And again, just to clarify, two sources of revenue, two different governing authorities for totally different purposes and spending objects. At the municipal level, you pay property taxes, let's say on your home, that's the most common scenario. And if you look at your tax bill, that's distributed between the school district, the municipality, if you live in one, and the county. That's where they get money to operate. School districts is the lion's share of that. That's how we fund education, in addition to the state appropriation per student for education. what they may be talking about, Dan, is the fact that the contribution rate on the public employee's retirement system is increasing by 2.5 percentage points over 5 years at the rate of 0.5 per year. I think, Rhino, we're either in year one or year two of that. But, yeah, so city employees, municipal employees, county employees, they, of course, are enrolled in the public employees retirement system, and it would be incumbent upon the city or county government to absorb that cost as part of their payroll cost to their employees. I guess you could say that's imposed by the state, but it's not that the state stepped in and raised property taxes. They basically said, look, you got to pay more for your employees that are in the public employees retirement system because it needs more more funds to stabilize, to keep up with benefit expense. And that was a big issue when the legislature took this matter up last year when they were talking about potentially a 5% increase. In fact, they signed that into law, and then they had to back it off the time at which it would go into effect, and they changed the whole thing, finally just eliminated that provision and replaced it with, okay, how about 2.5% over 5 years is what they did. Because you remember municipal leaders on our program were expressing serious concerns about, man, that's a 5% increase on our payroll in a short, compressed period of time. We can't absorb that. We need help from the state. You remember clearly, Rhino, Mayor Toby Barker of Hattiesburg, who was head of the Mississippi Municipal League, he expressed serious concerns, again, representing his peers, that also run cities. Yeah. So that's what's going on. Let's see. DEI is BS. BS. The company I used to work for had a DEI program, and they emphasized on two groups, and white male was not included in either one. And that's where it gets off the rail. I'll just say this finally to this person that kind of jumped on us about that. Forced diversity, forced equity, forced inclusion is deleterious. It produces no benefit. It doesn't even produce the object. We're out of here today. Stay safe, and God bless everyone.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.